The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Luke, the third chapter, beginning with the seventh verse. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest, dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from our holy Creator and our coming Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been so excited about something that you just couldn't contain it and you had to share it with people around you? I'm kind of bummed that Chuck Stacy's not here today because he usually interrupts service to tell us about the most recent movie that he's seen. It's that kind of excitement that I'm talking about. Right? Something happens and it just impacts you and affects you to such a deep level that you can't help yourself. You have to tell people around you. When I was in college, I declared a major 3 different times. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. And my grandfather was a congressman for 30 years, and people had been telling me, especially teachers in grade school, that I should be a politician. And I don't know if that was a compliment or an insult. Looking back. But anyways, because people had been saying that to me, I avoided it. And then finally in college, I just let go and I declared political science. And I remember my very first political science class. It was a class on public policy. If that doesn't get you excited, it shouldn't. That's terrible. But it got me excited. A class on public policy. That's just the most boring thing in the world. But I remember that very first class, I knew this is what I want to do with my life. I want to do something in politics. This fire was lit up inside of me. And then I became that annoying relative at Christmas parties and Christmas dinners. And I was like 20 years old at the time, trying to talk to people about politics and debate them. And I quickly learned that that was not socially acceptable. But I remember I couldn't help myself. I had this thing inside of me, and I just had to share it with people. And that carried me for a while until God called me into ministry. And I thought, cool, I can give up the discussions of politics at Christmas dinner, and now talk about religion. But the same thing happened. My seminary education, my studies, it was such an exciting thing in my life, and I just couldn't help myself. I needed to share it with people. There's these things that happen to us in our lives, these things that impact us so deeply that we can't do anything but respond to it. It almost feels as though it's filling us up, and if we don't share it with other people, if we don't let it out, we're going to explode from how much it's building up inside. I imagine in some way you have had these experiences in your own life. Now, last week I talked about calling experiences. Not calling as vocation, but calling as God's movement towards you. This experience that we have in our lives, that God, in God's abundant love and grace for each of us, is continually moving towards us. Even if we're trying to push God away, God is still always moving towards us, always trying to come closer to us, to embrace us, to share our God-given worth and identity with us, to let us know that each of us is a beloved child of God. That is that calling experience, when it becomes real, when you know that God just absolutely loves you for who you are, as you are, and nothing in this world can change it. That was last week. Those experiences in your life. And for those of you that were here last week, I asked you to just sit in that love. Just be present with the idea that God loves you and nothing else. Just love. Today I want to talk about our responses to those experiences. And it's kind of tough to use our gospel text today to talk about response to love, because John the Baptist opens up with, "You brood of vipers." Right? John was always this fire and brimstone kind of guy. And it's tough to talk about responding to love when John seems to be using fear as a motivational factor. And churches have really grabbed on to the John the Baptist method, right? Using fear to get people to do stuff. Fear is a very powerful motivational force. But I refuse to use fear in this church. And I really want to point out what John is doing here. John is doing two different things. First, he's responding to a sacrificial system 2,000 years ago. He's responding to the idea that if Jews had broken their relationship with God, they needed to go to the temple, they needed to move to God and atone for their sins and make that relationship right again. We don't see it here, but John is taking this entire system and he's flipping it on its head. Again, now it is about God's movement towards you. It's not about going to the temple and getting right with God through sacrifice, but instead it's about moving outward towards all of those people out there and sharing food or sharing a coat. It's almost like he's taking that sacrificial system and making it null and void. Instead, he's pointing to the ministries that we are called to as people of God. And the second thing he's doing is quite radical as well. John is responding to the extortionist system of Rome. He's talking to tax collectors here who were known to take more money than they were supposed to so that they could have it for themselves. And he's talking to Roman soldiers here who were known to use their position as Roman authorities to go into people's houses and take money from them or threaten them with imprisonment or execution. So John comes off as fire and brimstone because he's pretty angry at a very broken system around him. But he's still getting at something about responding to this very new thing that God is doing in this world. This new idea that God will not be at the temple, but that God will be with us, among us, directing us outward towards those around us. And here's the thing about that. This is why this is a two-part system, or a two-part sermon. Sorry about that. I want you to think about your own ministries, your own giving, the things that you do for this church. Now, in all of that, when all of our ministries, when all of our giving, when we respond to our call as Christians to love others, to share the idea that God is with us, when we do that out of obligation, because we think that's what we're supposed to do, more often than not, we will do the bare minimum. We will do what we think we have to until we have fulfilled that obligation and then go on with the rest of our lives. Have you experienced this yourselves? When we do things because we think we have to do them, we do them until we think it's done. Now I want to point you to all of those other moments in your life, those moments when you have experienced something that is so incredible that you just can't help yourself but respond to it. You just can't help but share it with those around you. Think about those moments real quick. Whenever that has happened, have you ever just done the bare minimum? Or are you the annoying person who keeps talking about it? Right? When something impacts us so deeply that we are absolutely compelled to respond to it, we can't help ourselves. We don't ever do the bare minimum. We keep going. We give our entire selves to that thing. And it is exactly that right there that God is seeking from us. God is seeking a response out of us, not obligation from us. God is consistently moving towards us in love so that we can experience that love in our lives, so that we can respond to it. And when we do, when it is a response and not an obligation, we give our full selves to it. We don't just do the bare minimum. We keep going. We keep sharing. We keep expressing. We keep giving and donating and helping those in need because it's a response to God's love in our lives. But folks, that can't happen unless it's a response. That can't happen until you have first experienced God's love in your life. Until you have first experienced God's movement, perpetual movement towards you. And I harp on this, folks. I harp on this so much because, one, that is not how the church is expected to be. And two, I can't tell you how many folks I talk to who understand God's love intellectually, but not experientially. The entire world is around us telling us that we need to earn everything we have. We need to earn our homes, our material possessions. We need to earn the love that we have from friends and family. So when I talk about God's abundant, unconditional love for us, we get that intellectually, but experientially, it's kind of lost. God loves you. God loves you, and as Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, nothing can ever separate you from that love. In our ministry as a church, right now, we're going to go and wrap a bunch of gifts for kids who aren't expecting them. That should be a response from us, not an obligation. A response to knowing how much God loves us in our lives. So here's what I'm going to do. I want you to have this own awareness of yourself. As a pastor, I ask you to do a lot here at church, right? I hope I do. I ask for you to give of your own resources. But more importantly, I ask of you to give of your own time and energy to the ministries that we have around here at church. I am going to suspend that. From now on, I want you to only do that stuff as a response. If it feels in any way that the stuff you do here at church is coming from any sense of an obligation, suspend it. It's gone. And not only that, there's no consequences to this. You're not going to hell. And you're also not going to incur any wrath from me. And I'm not going to love you any less. I want you to suspend that because I want you to continue to abide in God's love for you. If for some reason this stuff feels like an obligation, come talk to me. Because all I want to do is talk about how much God loves you. And that's it. I only want the things that we do here at this church to be a response from our experiences of God's love in our lives. And if you feel like you don't have that response yet, then all I want you to do is just sit in God's love for you, because you deserve that. Because God says you deserve it. Church has a bad rap these days. We tend to use fear instead of love. We tend to use obligation instead of response. That's not what we're going to do here at Bethania. We're going to be a church that sits in God's love, that tries to understand it, but most importantly tries to experience it in our own lives, and we are going to respond to it. Because when we respond to love instead of a sense of obligation or fear, then Christ truly comes into this world through us. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.